Blog Talk Radio.
And a great big hello and welcome. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant & Company radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host, and thank you for tuning in today. Today's show is going to be about something a little different. We're going to talk about animal welfare today. And there's three interesting groups that we'll highlight on the show. First is one called the Spay-Neuter Action Project, also known by the acronym SNAP. Second one is the San Diego Police Foundation Canine Unit, and also one called Pets Are Wonderful Support, and that's an acronym of PAWS, P-A-W-S. Three great organizations that I had the opportunity to meet this past weekend, although I had actually some degree of familiarity with both of them. I was attending a fundraiser for animal groups with the Petco Foundation. They had their Hands to Paws Gala held in beautiful downtown San Diego, California, right on the bayfront. And it was a great event, and I'm going to talk about that today, as well as some detail on these three groups. So, first, I do want to thank you for joining the show today. We're at a little bit different time, and that's due to the schedule with the Foundation Gala I was at down in San Diego, getting back to Palm Springs, some travel time. So here we are today, a little bit later in the day. So first, let me start by talking about the Petco Foundation. As some of you listeners may recall, at one time I worked for Petco, the retail giant, and they have a charitable foundation. It's a separate 501c3 organization from Petco Corporate, but the foundation is an organization that has been around since 1999. And the organization is unique in many ways because they do have such a strong focus on helping animals. Really, it's completely separate and independent from the retail organization in the sense that the foundation helps groups from all across the country, and they partner with profit, nonprofit organizations to help animals in need. In fact, this is quite an interesting statistic about the Petco Foundation. Since their inception, they have raised or donated over $63 million. And they routinely help and support over 6,500 various partners, animal organizations across the United States. And so far, they have saved over 2.7 million animals through rescue and placement and things like that. So really some great statistics about helping animals. And average everyday people are part of this. They're all part of the Petco Foundation, from the store associates to people who are volunteering their time and so forth, and even vendors who donate time or supplies or money to the foundation, who then disseminates that. So if you happen to be an animal welfare organization and you're listening to the show today, it's very easy to apply for support from the Petco Foundation. You go right online, petco.com. They have a section under the Petco Foundation, and there's a place for you to apply right online. There's the information right there if you're a partner in need. So if you are a group, then you should definitely check them out. But I want to talk today about the fundraiser they had last night in San Diego. The Petco Foundation has two major events each year. One is this gala, which is held in this time of year, June time frame, and the second one is typically in the November time frame, and it's a golf scramble for animals. So it's two major events, and of course, all through the year, they have a whole host of things that happen through the Petco stores. Each month, it seems like there's something they're doing to help raise funds, but it's amazing the generosity of consumers and what they will do to help various organizations. So at this event held in San Diego, there were three partners that were highlighted to help raise awareness, and that, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this it was an interesting collection or combination of groups, and I think it was very clever of the PECO Foundation to find divergent, diverse groups, if you will, that would appeal to somebody. So whether you are on one end of the scale of animal rights or animal welfare awareness, or the other end, you know, opposite end, these groups kind of appeal to you no matter where you are. So let's dig into them, because I think you may be interested to hear about it. First one is the Spay-Neuter Action Project, and that acronym SNAP has a higher degree of awareness, actually, if you do some searches on the internet. It's basically a volunteer-driven animal organization, and they try to educate people as well as help actually provide access to spay and neuter. Their mission is to really stop the euthanasia of animals that could otherwise be adopted and become great pets. So it's all about outreach and prevention. So they operate actual mobile clinics. They provide very easy, affordable spay and neuter options, particularly in low-income areas for organizations that just don't have the funds to support it through the government. So this is a separate, standalone nonprofit group, and they have saved thousands of animals. The second group is the San Diego Police Foundation, their canine unit, and that's an interesting one because, you know, when you think about the police foundation, it's not animals on the first thing that come to mind, but canine police officers have a very active role in assisting police departments, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that shortly. And then the third group was PAWS, Pets Are Wonderful Support. And these guys, I've known them for a long time, actually, and they have a very kind of warm and fuzzy feeling to them, in the sense that you really get it right away about how people who just can't afford to care for or feed their pets, maybe they're elderly, maybe they're ill, they've become ill and they can't afford their own medication, never mind feed a pet, or they just have some other circumstance that has happened and caused difficulties. And so what PAWS does is they actually help people retain their pet, because there's all sorts of research, by the way, that animals actually can help comfort you if you're depressed or you're ill or whatnot. Having a pet in the house really does help. And so the notion is you shouldn't have to give up your pet that you love for some reason that is beyond your control. So these are three different organizations, and I want to spend some time talking about them today because I find them to be very inspiring. So you when you go to an event like a charitable foundation gala, it's designed to get people to show up who have the ability to write checks. And the foundation did a nice job putting together a reception and a dinner program, entertainment, much of which was all underwritten. Vendors who sell merchandise to Petco purchase tables. Ticket prices they vary, but basically all the monies that are raised help not only to support these groups, but to ensure that the foundation has revenue streams to continue helping a variety of groups over the course of the year. So the event itself was black tie. It was interesting. It was fun. It was really visually appealing. And it made you feel good about helping animals at the same time. And let's face it, people need a reason to support charities. And the reality is a lot of people have a feel-good sense and they want to do it on their own. But there's a whole lot of other people who need a nudge. And an opportunity to go to a nice gala, get dressed up and go somewhere, hear from these organizations directly is usually the nudge that people need to whip out their checkbook and donate some money. So the PECO Foundation did a great job. You know, their mission is all about raising the quality of life for pets and the people who care for them. And they did a great job at the beginning of the gala with some messaging, talking about these notions of the three R's, I guess it is, or actually it's four R's. It's this responsible pet ownership, reducing euthanization, rescuing animals in crisis, and rehabilitation of pet behavioral issues. And it's important to remember that, by the way. There are dogs and cats, but especially dogs, who go through very traumatic things in their life. and they act out if they're not cared for properly, and they can be rehabilitated. And it's usually the person, the human's fault for how an animal has behavioral issues. And so organizations, animal welfare organizations, come from there's a wide range. You know, it's not just about shelters. There are groups that help rehabilitate pets, and that is a group that is helping animals in need. So if you're someone who has concerns about some of the various animal rights organizations out there, you can go and donate to an organization like the Petco Foundation and even specify which organization or type of organization that you really have, you would like to see your funds go to. So that's why I am such a big fan of the Petco Foundation, because they do have a broad range of partners, charitable partners that they help. So anyhow, let's get into the evening, because they started off with video highlights of each of these three groups. And I was very impressed with what I saw. And I want to tell you a little bit about each of them in some depth here. So the first one, the SNAP, this was an organization that was founded back in 1990. And it was very much volunteer-focused. It was an individual who just saw so many animals that were strays. They'd come in, their adoptions, they would take too long to get adopted, and they'd be euthanized because they couldn't find homes for these pets quickly enough. And she just thought that was just unconscionable. So they set out to reduce the number of animals that are showing up in shelters. And you have to kind of think of the cause, you know, and the effect behind these things, because there's at a given point, there's just too many animals that are homeless or stray. And part of it is there's a little bit of overpopulation. So educating people about getting their pets spayed and neutered is beneficial, because it eventually reduces the amount of stray animals. And it's important to remember that this is not to suggest that all animals have to be spayed and neutered universally. There's room for people for having responsible breeders and organizations that understand how to care for pets. But for the average person who has a pet who potentially could be out in the yard and could meet another dog and they mate, it produces extra pets. And sometimes people are irresponsible and their pets end up on the street. And this is what happens with overcrowded shelters. So SNAP has worked on educating people and providing low-cost spay and neutering, particularly in urban areas where it's just not affordable, inner-city areas. And if you think that over 15,000 animals have been spayed and neutered just in San Diego County alone because of this organization, that's a lot of animals that they've really had an effect on reducing that overcrowded population. But what's cool about SNAP is they have a mobile surgery bus, which is really cool, and I think that's been out for a number of years now, maybe six or seven years. It travels all through the San Diego County area, and they go around to help people in low-income neighborhoods, and they provide that spay and neuter. There's a lot of people where they just don't have that kind of either time or money or even knowledge that is something important to do. So they have that service. They actually offer reduced rate services for people who qualify. But primarily, SNAP is an organization that's funded through grants, private donations, corporate sponsorships. They have a very low administrative fee structure or cost structure to them. Pretty much all the money they raise or collect goes right into working with animal shelters, rescues, veterinarians, and so forth directly. All the adoptions they hold to help place pets who've been spayed and neutered, they're all over the place, and particularly in that San Diego area itself. They work closely with places like pet stores, like Petco and so forth, to adopt out animals. And I think it's just been really inspired by what I saw. For a 501c3 organization that's been helping animals, I think SNAP has had a tremendous impact on the organization, the shelter organization. So I think what I'd recommend for you is, if you have questions about spay and neuter. Whether you live in San Diego or anywhere else in the country, go check out their website because they have some good stuff on there, particularly about common myths about spaying and neutering. People get concerned about it or they wonder if it's kind of intervening or what does it hurt the animal. So there's a whole page on their website. It's snap-sandiego.org, and you can go to the SNAP website and read more about those guys. So that's a really good one to check out. They have an important message to deliver, and if you are somebody who does not currently understand spay and neuter, I recommend that you check out their website, read up on it, and talk to other pet people, pet owners, pet parents. And if you see a stray pet in the neighborhood or somebody who's kind of careless, refer them to their local shelter to find out about spay and neuter, particularly if they have financial challenges. There are organizations like SNAP all over the country to help people accomplish that more easily. Okay, then the next group I want to talk about is the canine unit with the San Diego Police Foundation. And, you know, there are canine police officer units all over the country, in the United States, all over the world. I mean, when I was in Europe a couple months back, I saw them in Germany. And these dogs, they love to work, and they actually do have an impact on public safety. Let me tell you why. What I learned last night was that police dogs actually help reduce violence or the use of lethal force by police officers, because many times, if you know the bad guy is being chased, the police are uniformed officers in pursuit of the bad guy, so to speak. They won't follow orders. If the officer's yelling, stop, halt, you know, drop your weapon. Lots of times, the bad guy just either continues to run, and then the police have fewer and fewer options to contain the situation. Or, in some cases, the bad guy will turn on the uniformed officer, and they'll start attacking or fighting or whatnot. And what ends up happening, of course, is somebody gets hurt in a very different way, where either there's a bullet involved or, you know, some other weapon that the police have to use to defend themselves. So what actually happens is these service dogs are pretty intimidating, and they're trained to do the job to really stop the bad guy. And what happens is, and they showed some great videos to kind of demonstrate this, but the dogs are trained for stopping vehicles. They can work with firearms to, you know, the noise doesn't bother them. They can help take down a bad guy who's either on foot, running, or coming toward them, or even if there's a criminal who's attacking a police officer, these dogs, they know how to do the job and get there and take down the bad guy and disarm them. It's very complex, and these dogs just, they know what to do, and they can turn on and turn off as they need to. They know how to follow instructions, and it's very inspirational. So I had no idea, but the thing here is that police dogs, actually, studies have shown they reduce the amount of violent crimes in communities. In addition, these dogs, of course, can do all kinds of incredible things, bomb sniffing, drug sniffing. They can search out problems and in a way that a human officer cannot. So the fact that various police organizations are able to maintain a canine unit is very beneficial to the community, but it's expensive. And so they look to organizations for financial support, and the Petco Foundation found a way to include support for police dogs because they actually can trace it back to their mission about animals and helping the human-animal bond and so forth. So responsible pet ownership, as you can see, and rehabilitating pets and all that is about so much more than just one issue of, say, spaying and neutering. It includes things like canine officers. So I was very impressed with what I saw last night, and I had a new awareness about how cool these police dogs are. And of course, you've heard me talk previously on other shows about guide dogs for the blind, service dogs and so forth. And same concept here. These dogs are working dogs, and they love to serve. So I this is an organization that I, too, would easily be more than happy to support on my own directly. But, again, if you go to organizations like the PETCO Foundation, they dole it out based on applications and grants, and so you never have to worry how the money is being used, because the organizations like the PETCO Foundation are accountable for tracking all that stuff, so it's nice and clean. Okay, this third group that I met last night, this Pets Are Wonderful support organization, PAWS. And this particular one is the San Diego County chapter, but I've lived all over, and I've run into PAWS organizations in virtually every major city in the United States. PAWS is quite interesting. It's again a volunteer-driven nonprofit organization, and this is all about providing essential services for low-income, elderly, people who are chronically ill, or anyone disabled, so they can keep their pet in their home. And this is really about anything. It could be a bird, a fish, a dog, cat, a guinea pig, you name it. They are incredible about helping people who qualify. So this is an organization that truly rejoices in and believes in the human-animal bond, because they know, just as the studies have shown, that pets provide friendship and company, but they help people heal. A dog is very therapeutic. Any kind of pet really can be, particularly ones that you can hold. Those kind of pets are therapeutic because there's physical and mental health benefits that happen. They bring people out of depression. They help you laugh. They even get you out of the house to exercise and have people have a sense of responsibility. I have to go walk the dog now. I've got to give him his exercise. So the notion of having a pet is about so much more than just companionship. It's about actually getting engaged and having a reason for living. So what's very sad, you see these videos, you hear these stories. In fact, they did show a video last night of a couple of clients of the PAWS chapter here in Southern California, where people in various reasons they risked losing their pet. Typically either it was financial or an illness or something, or people on a fixed income, and they had to make those tough choices. And fortunately, somebody at the last minute would introduce them to an organization like the PETCO Foundation or PAWS and say, wait a minute, before you give up your beloved cat, let me make a phone call for you. And then they quickly find out that they can get food for free. So, and they're very careful on how they, dole out their support to people, so they know that it's going to actually people who are needy. So this is an organization, these volunteers, people who have such compassion for other human beings that they volunteer their time to go in to the PAWS office and go deliver free pet food or cat litter or any of the supplies to people all across the area. There's an amazing amount of food here. I mean, I was reading some information about PAWS just in San Diego, and they delivered almost 90,000 pounds of pet food in last year alone. It's amazing. But they collect food from pet stores, shelters, anybody who has excess food, and also from individuals. I understand a lot of the food that gets donated is from people who, just on their own sense of compassion and desire to help others, donate pet food. And they actually have more clients, of course, than they actually have food for. So they're constantly in a search for more product. So if you're somebody who either is interested in writing a check, or if you're at the pet store and you want to just pick up an extra bag of food, contact your local PAWS organization. You can find them on the internet. Just type in PAWS and your city name, and you can find information about them. It's not just food, too. It's cat litter is also another important thing that people need. If they have cats, they've got to have a clean litter. Also, clean litter keeps the cat healthy. So anyhow, that's something you should know about. That PAWS just needs information. They need donations. And if you need information about how to do that, you can go to their websites. This particular one is pawssdc.org. That's in the San Diego chapter, as I say, but you can find them in any city. What you'll also find from PAWS, by the way, is they do provide vouchers for veterinary assistance. So if you have a pet and all of a sudden needs some vet care and you can barely afford to feed your pet, how the heck are you going to bring them to the vet? So they have vouchers if your pet has that situation, some $200 in vet vouchers. They also help transport animals, people who have, physically disabled and they can't get to the vet or a groomer, they will help transport that. But also the notion of after your pet is gone, and that is, you know, just another thing. But being a pet parent, you have to think about, what am I going to do when my pet passes away? And you hate to think about it, but PAWS also provides services for people after the death of their pet. So, I mean, it's really a wonderful organization, and I can't say enough about what these guys do, how moving it is, and how compassionate these people are. When you hear the stories of individuals, maybe somebody is a family and someone lost their job in the family, it just moves you so much that you just think, well, I can't even imagine having to give up my pet. So of course I will help donate something. So here's the things that organizations, not just PAWS, by the way, but organizations like this that are volunteer-based, let me just tell you what the kind of stuff they're looking for. They need people who are willing to sit at their front desk and answer the phone for a couple hours a day. They are looking for people who are willing to provide, you know, their services with their car, or a van or whatever, to help transport people, the shuttle. They don't have a fleet of vehicles. The people who are doing this transportation are people like you and I who say, sure, I'll donate my Saturday. I'll go down there and shuttle around. Who do I have to go pick up? That's a type of thing you can do. And you may not be able to write a check, but by golly, if you're willing to give up a couple hours on a weekday or weekend and do that transportation, that goes a long way. Also, somebody could just either directly donate pet food or supplies, or you could say, I'd be willing to go around and ask for it. You could do that. You can go approach others. Or you could be the person who just physically goes and picks it up and drops it off. Also, they need help rotating the inventory. So think about this. All these organizations and companies donate a pallet of food, a couple bags of food. It all shows up on their depot location. Well, they need somebody who's got some muscles to help stock it and rotate it and keep it clean so that it gets to the client in good condition. So, you know, you don't always think about all these things that go into organizing a charity like this, but it's about a whole lot more than just collecting money and giving it to people. There's a lot of administration that needs to take place. All of this is done by volunteers. Two other things here. I'm looking at my notes here. These organizations, they need people who are going to sit on the board or serve as a committee member or an ambassador to other organizations to raise awareness out there. You could even donate your time with just office tasks and clerical duties or helping out with mailings and so forth, or donate office supplies, paper, you know, anything you could, you know, next time you go to Staples or you're at the store and you're buying, you know, some Scotch tape for yourself, pick up a couple extra rip pens and things like that and drop them off at one of these organizations, because everything that gets donated, they don't have to purchase from someone or somewhere. So that's the kind of stuff that you can do to help an organization that is so focused on helping animals that they don't really have people with a voice, and they need people who do have a voice to help pitch in. So this is how I was inspired this past weekend or last night when I was listening to these three groups, very different, with divergent strategies on outreach. But let me tell you, they're three very worthy organizations. I was particularly moved by the passion of the individuals who donate their time, who are there, and you can just feel the energy of these individuals who are they've dedicated their lives, so to speak. You know, you can just kind of feel it. So the message today for me is that there's a lot of great animal welfare organizations in this country. And you, if you have an ounce of compassion for a pet or for an animal, and you have some either extra time or money or resources, please find an organization that you can help out. Whether you want to make it a little bit easier and make a donation to an organization like the Petco Foundation, and they will distribute money out. Whether you're at a retail store and they ask you to make a little donation, a dollar here, or round up your purchase to a whole dollar amount, or donate $20, whatever, say yes. Say yes when those people ask. Or if you really feel so moved, pick your cause that you're especially passionate about. Go on their website, call them up, and do something directly to them. Because I guarantee you there's never enough money or resources and time that these organizations don't have to go and find more. So the cool thing is all of these things are typically tax deductible. You always want to look for an organization that says right out front that they're a 501c3 organization, and you know that your deduction or your donation is tax deductible. So that's a good thing. And you also may be able to find if some of them, your employer may match funds. So you can go to, go to the charity's websites and you can find out the details about that. But there's all kinds of other cool things. There's a great organization called Autos for Animals. And, I mean, you name it, there's something out there. But you can donate your car, your boat, your RV, trucks, anything like that, an airplane, a motorcycle, to help save animals. Basically, what happens is you make a phone call. It's a toll-free number, 888-997-3826. Or you can go to the Petco Foundation website. You can fill out an online form. And basically, what happens is you'll be contacted or you will speak to a vehicle donation representative. And what they do is they figure out where you are and how to pick up the vehicle, and they confirm it all. And usually within 24 to 48 hours, your old car that maybe doesn't run or is kind of beat up or whatever, they'll tow it away and get it off your hands. And what's great is if you have, I think if the gross proceeds of the sale of your vehicle that you donate is more than $500, you actually will get a tax form, I think it's a 1098-C, about the resale price, and that's what you can claim on your tax returns, because the value that they raised, that they generated, was, you know, kind of an indirect donation from you. You donated something with high value, so I would definitely recommend that too. Autos for Animals is pretty slick. Check that out. Then there's also even cell phone recycling that you can do to help animals. I mean, there's so many great options. I mean, I must have four or five old cell phones sitting around that I've not used anymore. And the Petco Foundation collects them. They recycle old cell phones, and they use that to raise money about helping the quality of life for animals in need. So very easy. You can go to their website, you download a mailing label, and you just mail it in. I mean, it could not be any easier. So if you're looking for reasons or ways to help animals in need, again, you don't have to look too far. You can go to the Petco Foundation and you can find out exactly how to do that without having to put a lot of time or energy in on your own. So today's show is intended to really put a fine point on this notion about animals and how helpless they are, in the sense that they don't have a voice. They don't have the ability to communicate what's going on, how they need help, and they rely on people just like you and me, who are who love having a pet in the house, or who can appreciate what they give to us every day. And I want to just raise this awareness with you as you're listening to this, that you actually can make a difference. And I'll tell you the one thing that really, there's two things that moved me, I should say, the most with respect to helping animal organizations. One of them was back with Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, and the other one was with 9/11. I became introduced, so to speak, to these rescue dogs who were out going through the rubble at 9/11, and they were searching for survivors. And I'll never forget these dogs. They were wearing booties to protect their feet because everything was hot and smoldering. And these dogs, they were inhaling all these fumes, and yet they went on searching for survivors, trying to help anybody. They just were so driven. These dogs knew what their job was, and they just needed supplies to keep the dogs going. And it was a tough time for this country to deal with all the loss and the grief and the devastation, but yet there were people who recognized that dogs were making a difference, and they were donating to help the animals who were doing the search and rescue. So that was one group. The other thing was that in Katrina, when I saw these videos of these pets who had been left behind or inadvertently separated from their owners, or the owners had drowned or died or whatever, and these animals, you know, the Humane Society was going around searching for pets who were stranded and abandoned, it really moved me to see how much people were reacting and responding, and it just brought a tear to my eye. This notion of pets who are, you know, affected by disasters, that there's people out there who know and love them. Strangers were helping to take in pets from other states because there was this overrun population of pets who had been rescued from homes that were abandoned in the flood, and they had nowhere to go. So rather than having to euthanize them, people were saying, I'll be happy to bring a pet into my home. And I'll tell you what really impressed me even more. There were individuals who did that with the full knowledge that the person who was the parent to that pet might eventually show up, and they might have to turn that pet back over to that person. And there were cases where that happened. And, you know, people, things happen, and they accidentally get separated from their pet, and they're devastated, and then the pet is found, and they're reunited. Well, that is an unbelievable sacrifice if you're a person who brought a pet into your home and kind of cared for it, almost like a foster parent. So these are the things, those two events in particular really moved me. But it got me thinking. Fires, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, I mean, all kinds of natural disasters. Organizations like the Petco Foundation, day in, day out, they're there. They're in place, and they're ready to respond. They're ready to send supplies or food or whatever's needed, kennels, anything to those affected areas. And they will team up with whoever's needed to get the support out to those regional, national areas, wherever there's a disaster going on. And it's remarkable. It really is nothing short of remarkable. So those are my observations about why animal welfare organizations need help. They need the support of people to just, you know, it's a small amount of money you can donate or a small amount of supplies. But this is how you can make a difference. I think it was, I'm going to get the quote wrong now, but it was something I think was Gandhi who had said, you can always evaluate the character of a nation by how they treat their animals. I think something like that, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't have that quite right. But how we as a nation take care of our animals says a lot about us. And so whether you have a pet in your house and you're just taking good care of that pet, or you're thinking about animals who are homeless or in shelters, or you are helping other people who are at risk of losing their pet and so forth. That's the kind of stuff that really helps us as a culture, you know, really be who we are. We can actually show compassion to fellow human beings by helping their pets. So you sometimes may not realize that all these components are what are a part of helping animals, but they really are. So for me, I kind of want to wrap up the show today with these thoughts, these reflections on animal organizations and animal charities. You will find at Petco stores, they typically will run something like a spay and neuter drive, or they'll do events like they call one Tree of Hope or Spring a Pet. They have Breeds in Need type fundraisers. These are all kinds of events that are specific. They're focused on the charitable partners who they can raise money and then distribute it to those charitable partners that particular time of year. And it gives everyone a different organization to be aware of and to support. So as you go into retail stores, and particularly Petco for one, you'll find these events out there. And I've mentioned that they're happening all year long. Just ask the questions. Find out more about who they are and what they're doing, and donate when you're at the register. This is the little stuff that you can do. You'll also find typically there's donation bins in a lot of pet stores that you can buy a bag of food and drop it in that bin as well. Those are the easy things to do also. I also would suggest that if you go into a pet store and you see the animal adoption groups, the shelters out in front, stop and talk to them. Even if you don't have the ability to adopt a pet and bring a new pet into your home, maybe you have too many pets or you're just not ready, you can't afford to, if you walk over to that group and just ask them what they need, you could potentially just pick it up in the store, a one-time purchase for them, or, you know, they may have a little donation bin that you could just drop a couple bucks in, drop a $10 bill in there or something, and that's always well appreciated. Or, as I said at the beginning of the show, ask them what else they need. You could donate your time and so forth, and those little donations, those little things add up and will really help them sustain them through a lot more than just that one-time hit or payment. So that's kind of my wrap-up of the Petco Foundation Gala from last night, the Hands to Paws event. It really was quite impressive, and it inspired me to become more involved and to find my local organization that I could do something with. And here in Palm Springs, we have a whole host of organizations, just like they do in San Diego. And so that's my task for this week, is to track them down and find out what I can do to help out a couple of those guys here in my area. Before I close the show up today, I do want to talk about adoption. Adopting pets is something else that people should think about first when they need a pet, because you can get a dog from a breeder, and I have purchased a dog from a breeder, but I've also had pets from shelters throughout my life as well. When you may be surprised that there are some great pets in shelters. And there's all kinds of reasons and circumstances why pets show up at a shelter, but you should think about adoption first when you want to get a pet, because the thousands of animals that are in shelters, there's so many that are loving and in good health and plenty of good years available to them to live and to share their life with you that you'd be pleasantly surprised when you meet them. You can get all kinds of things to make it easy when you choose to adopt a pet. You can go to a shelter, you fill out your form, you find out information about your lifestyle, where you live, just by the process of answering questions, and you realize some breeds of dogs are better than others, or better suited, I should say, for your lifestyle. Do your homework. Know what it is that is good for your lifestyle, and find a pet that makes sense for your home. So when you do that, you typically will get all kinds of help. They'll even give you some coupon books to help you with your first purchases for your pet. So an adoption actually is a great thing, because you're doing something for that animal, you're doing something for that shelter, and you're really helping. It's also good karma, I think. You're helping yourself to do something good for the animal kingdom, of which we are a part. Okay, well, I want to thank you for listening to today's show. It was kind of from the heart, and I appreciate your interest. I had a number of emails come in today. I didn't really get a chance to get to them about today's topic, but I tell you, go to the Petco Foundation website on petco.com. Read more about this and help animals in need, whether it's one of the groups I mentioned today or your own local organization. You can make a difference. Thanks for listening. I'm Rick Rockhill. You've been listening to the Palm Springs Savant and Company right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great day.